Bibles to Ruth chapter 1. And let's pray. Father, I just pray right now with my dear friends here, my brothers and sisters in Christ, that you would just pour out your Holy Spirit on all of us. For nothing will take place here, Lord, unless you are present and you ordain and anoint this time. So we humble ourselves before you, Lord, that you would speak once again through your word. Show us those things that are relevant for us today, at this time of our lives and this time of history. And we just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of today's message is Heart Revelation During the Appointed Times. Heart Revelation During the Appointed Times. I don't know if you know much about the book of Ruth, but I want to encourage you. We're only going to look at chapter 1 today, but I want to encourage you to read the book of Ruth. It's a great love story. Tremendous love story for all ages. But there's so many great nuggets in it that we're going to look at today. So why don't we pick up right where, matter of fact, before we go to Ruth, let's go over here. So this is, I'm waking up two or three times this morning, and I'm thinking God's putting on my heart this thing about fire. So, of course, I think scripturally, what are some of the fires in the Bible? And, of course, with Moses in the burning bush, you know, I think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that fire there. You know, the Holy Spirit fire, you know, the fire of God's Holy Spirit. And I was just thinking here, this is in Exodus 3:5. It says, "Then he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy ground." And the reason there it was holy ground, and it was so sacred, it was because God was present there. God was speaking there. Okay? You don't have to take your shoes or sandals off today, but this is holy ground. You know, when you're at home in your quiet place and you open up God's word or you're speaking to him, that's holy ground. That's a special privilege that we have as sons and daughters of the King, that we can go to God anytime and speak to him. And hopefully we take advantage of that. And, you know, Moses, I believe that we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, as the scripture says. And you know how you might have a favorite character besides Jesus in the scriptures that you want to hang with or talk to one day in eternity. But you know what? There's going to be some of the characters of the faith, the Hall of Faith people, that are going to be speaking to you. Saying, what about that time that you went through that? I could not believe what you went through, yet your faith stood strong. You hung in there when those times were tough. Or any of those situations. I think they're going to be as blown away with us as we are meeting them after reading about them all these years. Throughout our country, okay, there are some people that are burning Bibles. And I thought of this verse this morning, or I went to this verse, Exodus 5:20. "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin aboundeth, grace aboundeth much more." We know, I mean, I see some several young people here today, but older people, you know, we've never, ever seen anything like this globally in our whole life, right? We've never seen this stuff. And the blatant lawlessness that is one of the things that the Bible talks about has to happen before Jesus Christ comes and takes us home. So we're living in a very prophetic time. There's things that are happening. And so much stuff is going on in our country that sometimes we get distracted about what's happening over in the Middle East. And the Middle East is really our time clock. You know, Israel is the minute hand. You know, or the hour hand, I should say. Jerusalem is the minute hand. And the Temple Mount is the second hand. We need to keep seeing what's happening over there. And it's very difficult with the news media in our country But there's a couple great sites. I don't know if any of you know Don Stewart, Understanding the Times, on his channel. Keeps you right up to date every day. I think he's on 5 days a week on the internet, on his channel. And BeholdIsrael.com or .org with Amir Sephardi. He's a Messianic Jew that God's using mightily, but he keeps you right up to date on what's happening, not only in the whole world, but especially over in Israel. So those are a couple of places you can go to be educated as to what's happening. So I brought this picture up simply because of this. As we see lawlessness and sin just abounding through our world, understand grace abounds much more. The presence and the knowledge of God, as sin abounds, grace is going to abound more. There's going to be a greater movement. Right now, or a couple hours from now, there's a church in California that's going to have about 10,000 to 14,000 people in it. And if you've been following the state of California, it's not too good. Governor Newsom has closed down all the churches, but this church is, there's been several churches meeting, but this church has 14,000 people. Just a weekend ago, about several hundred young people came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. 1,000 people were baptized. Something's going on. We don't hear this. You don't hear this. We hear all the negative stuff. But understand the promises of God. That's one of them right there. That as sin abounds, grace is abounding more. So this whole thing with heart revelation, what is God revealing to you and I at this time about our hearts? What's He revealing? He wants us to see what's in there. How many of us have really, over this past 6 months of this isolation and things, especially when it was really strict, what was God showing you? Were you hearing His voice? That really was an indicator of your spiritual maturity, wasn't it? Or is it? It shows you something about yourself. Now, if you have your Bibles open to the book of Ruth, if you just take a just turn to the left to Judges 21, 25. It's the book right before Ruth, the last chapter, verse 25. It says, "In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes." Boy, can we apply that to 2020? Ho! Right? We can see the same thing. Now, I want you to just keep your finger in Ruth, but we're going to go back a couple of books to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 11, to just set up this whole teaching today. So Deuteronomy, chapter 11, and we're going to look at two verses, verses 16 and 17 of Deuteronomy 11. Starting with verse 16. "Take heed to yourselves, lest your heart be deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. Lest the Lord's anger be aroused against you, and He shut up the heavens so that there be no rain, and the land yield no produce, and you perish quickly from the good land which the Lord is giving you." As we look at those two verses, real quick, words that jump out at me is this. Don't let your heart be deceived. Today, can all of us say that our heart is totally right on, locked on to the true things of God? Or are we deceived in some areas? Well, my prayer right now is that if there's any deception that you don't even know about in your heart or mind, that God will reveal through the fire of His Holy Spirit and just burn that out. And just replace it with His things. Also notice in verse 17 that because they turned and worshiped other gods, there was a drought, there was a famine. So now let's go back to Ruth. Ruth's name means friendship. Okay, that word Ruth means friendship. In verse 1, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to dwell in the country of Moab, He and his wife and his two sons. Now, remember, Judges had said that everybody's doing what was right in their own eyes. They were doing their own thing. So they were really not paying attention to God. They were creating their own gods. They were their own gods. They were following other gods. They weren't following the God of the Scriptures. So many people today don't follow the God of the Scriptures, yet they go to church. Imagine. They go to church, but they do not follow the God of the Scriptures. The Bible says in the Psalms that God holds His Word above His name. Think about that for a second. God holds His Word above His name. Wow. There's organizations and churches that are meeting or will meet today or throughout the week that will say Jesus, they'll say God, but they don't honor His Word. He magnifies His Word above His name. You see, you only know if it's the God of the Bible if the Word of God is preached from the Bible. That's the only way you know it's the God of the Bible, because the Holy Spirit will be present there, moving in your hearts and minds that can't be done where the Holy Spirit is not present. So there was a famine in the land, we see in verse 1. And we know why, because we read in Deuteronomy why there was a famine in the land. So I need to ask you and me this. Is there a famine in your heart? Is there a famine in your life? Well, today, God wants to bring life to your heart, to your mind, to your situation. Now, it says a certain man. We're going to meet this guy in a second. There's a certain man of Bethlehem. And Bethlehem means the house of bread. Guess who was born in the house of bread? Jesus, right? The bread of life. Isn't that cool? Jesus, the bread of life. Born in the house of bread, that makes sense. A certain man of Bethlehem, a certain man of the house of bread, Judah means praise. We just had a lovely time singing three praise songs. Great time. And John, I know you had said you were up here for a while doing the drums, and now you have one of your partners back and playing. But you know what the Bible says? That even if we were quiet, the rocks would cry out. And God has here, or will bring here, other people. New fruit, new life. Because that's what our God does. He's into resurrection life, you know. He's not into dead things. He takes nothing and makes something. Takes a little and makes it a lot. Look for those things in your own heart. So, he went to dwell in the country of Moab. Now, Moab, the meaning of the word Moab is a wash pot. So check this out. This certain man of the house of bread of praise leaves Israel and goes to a wash pot. And not only he goes and brings his wife and his two sons. Verse 2. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife was Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to the country of Moab and remained there. Now you have to understand that God forbid anybody to go to Moab. Not to go there, not to interact with the people of Moab, but to stay with your people. To be equally yoked with your people, to interact with your people. To be of the same mindset of your people. Not to be confused or clouded with other philosophies or religions. But we need to look at these names. For so many times in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, the names mean something so significant that just by reading them, you could gloss right over them and not get the true meaning. So as we look, the name of the man was Elimelech. His name means, my God is king. Elimelech, my God is king. But like so many people who call God Lord and Savior, they do things opposite of what they're supposed to be and do. So Elimelech, my God is king, what does he do? He takes himself, his family, and his two sons, and he leaves the house of bread and praise to go to the washpot. Whenever we don't allow God to be our Lord and our Savior, we're going to a washpot. A washpot is where they wash their feet, they wash their hands, they wash their babies, they wash their utensils, their plates. It was dirty water. You had to pour it out to reuse it again. So they went down here to eat and live. And they stayed there when there was a house of bread and praise that they had left. The wife's name was Naomi. Her name means pleasant. They went to dwell, and the names of the two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. Their names mean sickly or and pining. One was a sickly boy. The other was pining. One had some mental things he was going through. So they were both weak kids. Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. There we see Ephrathites. The name means fruitfulness. Where they left was a fruitful place. A place of bread, which was the sustenance, the staple of their nutrition. And they're going down to the washpot with a wife whose name means pleasant and two kids that were sick. Wouldn't you want to bring them to a healthy place to be nourished and grow and get stronger? Verse 3, then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. You see, when you and me, who are believers in Jesus Christ, leave the place of being fed, we die. We die, spiritually speaking. Our spiritual growth is impacted. I look here at some young people, I see some older people. Do you know older people we can learn still? We have a lot to learn. The more we learn, the more we realize we have to learn. And younger people, all the older people were young one time. And we thought we knew it all. But as you get older, you get wiser and realize you didn't know it all. So all ages can learn. So now Naomi is left with her two sons. Verse 4, now they took wives of the woman of Moab. They took wives of the woman of Moab. They weren't supposed to do that. The name of the one was Orpah, not Oprah. Orpah. And the name of the other, Ruth. And Orpah's name means gazelle. Gazelle. And Ruth's name means friend, friendship. And they dwelt there about 10 years. They were in the washpot for 10 years. Oh my goodness. That's a long, long time. Then both Mahlon and Chilion also died. So the woman survived her two sons and her husband. Verse 6, then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people by giving them bread. Our God, your God, is a God of grace, is a God of mercy, wanting no one to perish, wanting everybody to come to the saving knowledge of him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Not only here in America, but throughout the whole world, in Iran, in Iraq, in Syria, in Turkey, in Russia. And God is doing that. There's a remnant of believers, just like there's a remnant right here. There's a remnant meeting in Janesburg right now and throughout our country. There's a remnant of people with the same Holy Spirit of God living in them that lives in you and me, that's speaking to them at this appointed time to try to reveal more of your heart and my heart to ourselves so we can keep turning it over to Jesus so he continues to grow us in him so that we're more like him and less like ourselves. So they hear in Moab. They didn't have cell phones, guys. No Snapchat. No Twitter. Word of mouth spread that there was bread after a drought back in Israel. Now that means there were people who were hanging in there. They were speaking to God. They were repenting. They were calling on God to bless their land once again, to bless their individual lives once again. And God showed by the land and the crop being grown what was going in the hearts of some of the people of that land. And he's doing the same thing in our country and throughout the world. He has not left. He is not forsaken. This does not surprise God what's going on. As the government tells us to social distance, we need to be spiritually drawn closer and closer to one another. Praying for one another. Interceding on prayer for each other. For there's so much going on. Alcohol abuse. Drug abuse. Suicide. Is skyrocketing in the world because of this. People are trying to find all the wrong answers because they're in the wash pot. They need to turn to Jesus, the bread of life, to feed them, to build them up, to give them nutrition. Verse 7, therefore she went out from the place where she was and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on their way to return to the land of Judah. So now we see Ruth going with Orpah and Ruth back to Israel. And Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest each in the house of her husband. So she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. Before I continue, understand there was a bond here between the mothers and the daughter-in-law. They were tight. They were there 10 years together. They went through a lot. They went through the death of their husbands and their sons. So there was a unity there through adversity. And we see Naomi trying to send them back, telling them, go back to Moab. And this is an important thing for all of us right now, and I'll get to that in a second, what's going on here. In verse 10, and they said to her, surely we will return with you to your people. But Naomi said, turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there still sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should say I have a husband tonight and should also bear sons, would you wait for them till they were grown? Will you restrain yourselves from having husbands? No, my daughters, for it grieves me very much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. Question, did it really? Did it really go out against Naomi, this pleasant one? Or did Naomi make a decision with her husband, Elimelech, my God is king, to go against their king and go to another place, Moab, the washpot, to live? What did you expect, Naomi? Vinny, what do you expect when you don't obey God's word and do your own thing? Why do you leave the house of bread where I'm feeding you to go to a wash pot? Why do you feel like things are dead in your life? Why things are not happening in your life? But God, just like in Israel, the crops started growing. The attitude of the hearts of some of the people were changing. They were coming back to him. And he was going to deliver. He was going to make them stronger, get them in shape again, protect them again. They only had to turn to him. Verse 14, then they lifted up their voices and they wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. Remember, both girls were going back to Israel. They did not want to leave this lady, Naomi. There was something about Naomi that they wanted. They couldn't put their finger on it, or maybe they could. But Naomi, and this is where you and I have to be so careful. Naomi said something to them that showed that she wasn't totally in her right mind. She was sending them back to the wash pot when they could be going up to the house of bread and praise to be fed, to be taken care of. This is important for us. Are we becoming better or bitter through the situations that we're being faced with during these past 6 months of COVID? There's only one thing that differs in those two words. What is it? I, you, me. We're the difference in those two words of being better or bitter. What is God revealing in your heart right now? Showing you and me through his word. He's trying to tell us something. Verse 15. And she said to Ruth, look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. Oh. In Matthew 28, towards the end of the verses, Jesus says, all authority has been given to me. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I am with you always until the end of the world. You know who I'm looking at? People who God has given the same command to. That same authority is given to you ladies and you guys to go and make disciples. Now, Naomi, Elimelech were disciples of their sons. They were disciplers of Orpah and Ruth, meaning they built into their lives. They were examples. They told them things. They introduced them to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But like any person, they had their faults. They made mistakes. They made wrong decisions. But we see here something about Ruth, this friend, this daughter-in-law, that she clung to Naomi. Orpah goes back to Moab. We never hear from her again. We don't know if she took the things that Naomi and Elimelech passed on to her about the one true God and brought that to her people. We don't know. Hopefully one day we can ask Orpah that. But I'll tell you what happened. Ruth ends up going with Naomi back to the house of bread. There was something in Naomi. As I look here today, there's something in you and me. If you're a believer in Jesus, there's His Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit is in your heart as a guarantee of your salvation. But that same Holy Spirit is not done with you yet. He's not done with me yet. We're in this appointed time of our lives. Doesn't matter if you're younger or older. That God wants to do something very, very special in our lives during this time where this world is getting darker and darker. And as Jesus is the light of the world and His Holy Spirit is in you, you become the light of the world. You're going to have opportunities, you probably already have, that there's going to be people that you reflect Jesus Christ to. They're going to want to know things that you know because they don't have any answers. They're losing hope. There's craziness going on. And who knows what's coming? We don't know what's coming, but God does, and He prepares us in His Word. So here we have Ruth. But Ruth said in verse 16, "Entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord, do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts you and me." There we see the heart of Ruth, the heart of this friend. More than just a daughter-in-law. She's clinging to Naomi, who's an older woman now, who doesn't have a husband, doesn't have any sons, doesn't have a heritage line. She just has this Moab girl, Ruth, her friend. Jesus says in the Scriptures that He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. No matter how isolated things go, Jesus is with you right through it all. He'll always be with you. And it will get better. All this is temporary for children of God. Amen? It's all temporary. The best is yet to come. Things aren't falling apart. They're falling right into place. These are all God's puzzle pieces. It's His story, history. It's His story. My wife is a phys ed teacher down in West Long Branch. She just told me yesterday they have a shortened day. They're live. There's some kids that are virtual, but most of the kids, I think 85% of the kids are in school. But it's a shortened day. Guess what subject they took out of their school? History. 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 They took history out. Isn't that something? Of all the subjects. They're not rotating it through the week. They're taking it out of the classroom. Wow. They don't want to know our history. Well, we're seeing that, aren't we? Some of the things going on in our country. But God wins. God wins. It'll all be okay. Verse 18, "When she saw that she was determined to go with her, she stopped speaking to her." God knows your heart and my heart. He knows our determination. And when He sees how determined we are, He speaks to us even louder. When He sees that you're not too determined, He'll still speak to you because He loves you so much. He wants to get your attention. Does He have it yet? Does He have your attention more now than He did 6 months ago? Or will it take more to shake you to wake you? Hopefully it doesn't. Hopefully you're there and you just want to stay in tune with God's Holy Spirit. Verse 19, "Now the two of them went until they came to Bethlehem, the house of bread. And it happened when they had come to Bethlehem that all the city was excited because of them. And the women said, 'Is this Naomi? Is this the pleasant one that left 10 years ago? Naomi's back.'" Not sure who's with her, but there's Naomi. Verse 20, "But she said to them, 'Don't call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me.'" Mara means bitter. Remember that I word? Bitter. So my question at the end of that statement, "Do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me." My question is, really, Naomi or Mara, whatever your name is, really? The Lord has dealt bitterly with you? No. Which direction are you heading, Naomi? You're heading back to the house of bread and praise. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. You're not in the wash pot anymore. You're coming home. You're coming home. And Naomi says in verse 21, I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Sometimes the Lord has to empty us to fill us with the good stuff. Amen? Right? Sometimes the Lord has to clean house in order to make room for the new stuff. What's the Lord doing? What's He revealing in your heart and my heart? Do we have ears to hear and eyes to see? Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, who returned from the country of Moab. Now they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest. Well, when you hear that word, barley harvest, you should realize that a miracle has taken place. There was a drought in the land. Now there's growth. There's fruit. There's produce. A sign of God's grace. Can you identify the grace of God in your life? I can right now. I see you here sitting, listening, looking, hearing. You all came in here. You're all going to leave here. That's the grace of God. That's God's grace. There are people that can't say that this morning. They're not blessed with what you have right now. We're living in historic times. No other generation since the time of Jesus witnessed that many Bible prophecies are being so amazingly fulfilled. However, looking at the state the church is in today, it's not a surprise why we haven't been raptured yet. The bride must make herself ready. God is working on His bride. The bride is you and me. We're the bride of Christ. We've looked here today how the judges ruled and people were doing things in their own eyes. They left the place that God wanted them to be, and there was a famine, there was death, but we always see God's grace. In Matthew 28, 18, this is what I had mentioned to you before, and here's the challenge. If I ask you today, right now, how many of you are investing in each other's lives? You see, Jesus, this is a command to go therefore and make disciples. It didn't say go and find disciples. It says go and make them. Disciples aren't born, they're made. And they're made by, first of all, inviting people to a home group, inviting people to church, inviting people to pray. That second letter of the word invite is N, nurture. Nurture them. Take care of them. We know the story of Cain and Abel. Cain said to God, had the nerve to say to God, am I my brother's keeper? Remember that? The answer to that question is yes. We are our brother's keeper. We're to pray for each other. We're to pray for the lost. We're to nurture them. We're to be with them. Help them out in any way we can. Are we investing in others? Do we spend time with each other? John, I forget the letter V. What's the letter V? Where's my buddy? We'll come back to V. Okay. E, to endure. You know? Times are tough to endure, but times throughout all history have been tough. Another letter in Invest is S, sacrifice. What are you willing to sacrifice for the kingdom of God? How much did God sacrifice for you and me? You know, he died on the cross for us. What are we willing to do for him? And T is just transparency. Do you have somebody in your life that you're transparent with? Are you building into the next generation? Are you spending time with the young people? Young people, are you spending time with people who don't know Christ? Do you invite them out to church? As we close, in Matthew 28:16-17, it says, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted." You see, it's easy for us here to come together on a Sunday or a Wednesday or a home Bible study. But God has an appointed time. He always wants to speak to you. There's always something that he wants to do in your heart and in your life to touch somebody else's. But notice that some of the disciples worshipped him, but some doubted. Where are you and I on that spectrum? You know, the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing God's word. So the more we put our face in the book, not in Facebook, but if we put our face in the book, the more we grow and get stronger in him, because he nurtures us. He builds us. He strengthens our spiritual muscles. But some doubt it. And my prayer right now is if any of us have doubts in our spiritual walk, that he will take us and erase those doubts and fill it with answers. Right? Fill us with those answers. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Where are you on that divine appointment as God calls you to be his child in a world that's perishing? How much time do we have? Do we have another 40 years? Do we have another 4 days? Do we have another 4 hours? Where is our hearts? Our hearts have to be one-on-one with the Lord. We have to cling to him as Ruth clung to Naomi. We have marching orders. That's a command to go and make disciples, to interact with each other. And knowing that God is with you always, you're never alone. 2 Timothy 2:3-4, you therefore must endure hardships as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Guys and girls, do you realize that God calls us to be his warriors, to be his soldiers, male and female? That he wants us to engage in a warfare that's going on every day in the hearts and souls of men and women, boys and girls, throughout the world, throughout our schools, throughout our families? What is hindering you? What is keeping you from going all the way? You know. You know what that is. You got to put it at the foot of the cross. Showed you them burning Bibles. And as sin abounds, grace abounds more. But remember, his word is a fire. And it's a refiner's fire. It's changing. It's getting all the gook out. It's getting all that wash pot stuff out of our hearts. It's refining. He's refining our hearts. The Father, God the Father, set that plan in motion when him and the Son and the Holy Spirit created the whole world. And then Jesus came down to show us, to reveal to us who God was. When we see him, we see the Father. And then the Holy Spirit, God himself, the third person of the Trinity, has been put in every believer's heart to help and to comfort you, because God knows the times that we live in. But it's an appointed time. He knew that you and I, at this time of history, could handle it. He knew, regardless of ages, young or old, doesn't matter. He knew that you would have an impact in our society today with what's going on today. So I pray that God, through the power of His Holy Spirit, says in Luke 3:16, John answers, saying to all, I indeed baptize you with water. That's speaking of John the Baptist. But one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I'm not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Let's pray. Father, I just pray right now that you would pour out your Holy Spirit on every heart here today.